A Divine Comedy, A Good Omens Multivoice Podwick, written by Waywater and read by
Sky Asimaru
and Trap. Chapter 14, With a Little Help from My Friends, or I am running out of comedy-related titles, help. Summary, in which the only way out is through. And our heroes have to keep talking about their feelings, and in which there's some wholesome friendship time. Or Saturday night at the end of the world comedy festival. Woohoo! Saturday morning, the end of the world comedy festival. Aziraphale awoke to the dearly familiar fragrance of Earl Grey tea and to the increasingly dearly familiar sight of a tall, handsome comedian tearing his fingers through his red hair.
Look, here's the truth, Angel. I'm a disaster, and I have been for a scorching hot fucking minute. But you're perfect, and I love you, and I am going to try really hard, and I'm sorry for being a fucking idiot yesterday, and I brought you tea, and I'm sorry they didn't have any breakfast snacks in the lobby, but I can go get those too if you want,
Crowley shrugged his shoulders rather violently, fingers still combing ferociously through his hair. Aziraphale slipped out of the bed and went to him, replacing those angry fingers with his own.
You don't have to bring me tea and a treat every time I'm upset, you know.
Aziraphale smiled, working some gentleness through the tangled crimson locks before him.
Of course I do. Don't be stupid.
Aziraphale kissed him.
I really am sorry.
Crowley murmured against Aziraphale's lips, unwilling to pull away.
I know you are, my dear.
Aziraphale assured him, winding his fingers now through Crowley's own and leading him back to the bed.
But I think we need to talk about it a little more.
Oh, yeah, I worried about that.
Thought you could wiggle out of it with some tea, did you?
Never thought I could wiggle out of anything. Those are completely your words.
Aziraphale kissed him again.
Cruelly.
Aziraphale said, shifting so he could hold both of Crowley's hands now.
I have something important to tell you.
It struck Aziraphale's heart how immediately worried Crowley's golden eyes appeared. As if any news was bad news. As if anything Aziraphale had to tell was surely some great tragedy.
Dear heart.
Aziraphale leaned his forehead against Crowley's.
I promise it's all right.
Crowley nodded, but Aziraphale could feel him beginning to shake a little against him. Aziraphale never would have imagined this cocky comedian he'd seen on stage at the Ninth Circle Comedy Club months ago could be so full of fear.
Aziraphale... Can I say something stupid?
Of course, Crowley.
Crowley gritted his teeth, clenched his eyes shut. Aziraphale rubbed over the skin of his hands with his thumbs.
It's all right, my love. Tell me.
I thought my life was sort of over.
Crowley said. Eyes still closed, and Aziraphale's heart cracked.
I thought I'd had my one chance, and I'd royally, monumentally, catastrophically blown it. Thought I'd fucked up, and that the rest of life was just punishment for all my misdeeds, you know.
Crowley exhaled again and opened his eyes. He met Xerophil's gaze as confidently as he dared, though Xerophil still felt him shaking.
I'm going to be better for you. I'm going to do better for you. Because of you. I promise.
Xerophil brought his hands up to either side of Crowley's face.
But that's just it, my darling. I don't need you to do or be anything differently. I love you just as you are.
But Crowley was as stubborn as Xerophil.
Though for myself alone,
Crowley recited, a touch of defiance in his voice.
I would not be ambitious in my wish, to wish myself better. Yet for you, I would be trebled 20 times myself.
Did you memorize Shakespeare to woo me?
Is it working?
Very much so.
Good.
They sat there together, pleased and awkward and in love.
What did you want to tell me, Angel?
Oh.
Xerophil's heart plummeted a little, recalling the news he had for Crowley.
My dear, you have to promise not to get upset.
Crowley opened his mouth to argue, but clicked it shut again.
I promise.
Gabriel Horn came to see me last night.
What happened next is hard to describe. It was as though Crowley's body was prepared to spring into furious action at the mere mention of Gabriel fucking Horn, but his heart had made a vow to Xerophil. So he sort of managed both. He tightened up into a coil, which did not spring, but merely drooped over onto his side on the bed.
Yep, great. Definitely not upset.
Crowley.
Angel, I told you. I told you Hollywood was coming to claim you.
I don't want to go to Hollywood.
What happened next was equally perplexing. Crowley, braced for the worst impact of his entire life up to that point, curled himself up even tighter into a ball, shielding his slight frame, but then Xerophil wasn't leaving. Xerophil wasn't leaving him. Crowley sat, shot up in surprise, but he didn't balance it all quite correctly, so, well, Crowley rolled off the bed with a terribly dignified squawk.
Crowley!
Xerophil dropped to his knees on the hotel carpet.
Are you all right?
Crowley just seized him and dragged him bodily down to the floor, speaking only between kisses.
Oh!
Oh, never been fucking better.
After a dizzying moment of floor kissing, Crowley yanked himself away.
But wait, no! That's not right. You can't just, I don't know, Angel, settle for me or anything. Is that what this is?
Settling? Oh, my dear, no. Quite the opposite. I have plans to ride your mildly famous coattails to fame and fortune.
Hang on. Mildly famous?
Crowley, I thought my life was a little over too. I didn't know what I wanted, because I think I was too afraid to dare to want anything. But I know now. I want to perform, and I want to be with you. And I believe the world is vast enough in its possibilities that we might make all that work. Hollywood isn't the only option, darling.
Crowley looked a little gloriously shattered at that assessment. He wiggled. Don't mention it. Up to his knees, grasping Aziraphale's hands in his.
Aziraphale, will you?
There was an extremely enthusiastic knock on the door.
We didn't order anything. Like hell you didn't, you nightmare!
Aziraphale smiled at Crowley, who was now blushing horribly as he remembered.
You called anathema, my dear?
Yeah, I was having a nervous breakdown. Of fucking course I called anathema.
Oh, it would be delightful to have her here.
Before he made his way to the door, Crowley turned and kissed Aziraphale fiercely, joyfully.
I promise I won't ask again, because I trust you. But this, me, this is what you want, Angel?
Terribly so.
Crowley grinned and opened the door. He was not prepared for what he found there.
Oh, fucking fuck, anathema. You texted me during open mic night. They were all worried about you.
Hello?
Newt said pleasantly. Hester and Ligger just grunted.
Are you all right?
Anathema asked softly and reached out to touch Crowley's shoulder.
I think so, actually.
Crowley said, eyes darting over to Aziraphale's face. Anathema smiled.
I knew you would be.
We can't hear anything you're saying.
Breakfast? I'm excited to drink coffee I didn't make.
Breakfast.
It was the sort of moment which was happening increasingly lately. The sort of moment Crowley wished he could freeze and tuck into his pocket forever. In a hotel room, his notebook full of new jokes, surrounded by people who, fuck, cared about him. Holding hands with Aziraphale fell.
But this isn't just a fleeting moment, Tony.
Crowley imagined Anathema saying as she smiled at him, probably reading his bloody thoughts.
This is your life now.
Crowley tightened his grip on Aziraphale's hand, trusting it would be there whenever he needed it from now on.
Yeah, all right, you maniacs. Breakfast. I'm buying.
Damn right you are.
Wait!
Anathema pounced into the doorway, holding them all up.
What? We have to commemorate this moment. Proof that we're friends outside of comedy class.
Fuck, maybe she really could read minds?
Snuggle up!
She instructed, holding her mobile out in front of her. When Crowley printed out and framed that selfie later, shut up. He would be more surprised by the ease of his own smile.
So, Aziraphale, how did last night go? Tell us everything.
They were crowded around their table at the breakfast spot, elbows and knees knocking. It was okay. They are friends.
He was brilliant, of course.
Crowley answered Anathema's question, leaning back proudly.
Obviously, but I want Aziraphale to tell it.
Will.
Aziraphale placed his teacup down delicately.
I was sort of brilliant, I suppose.
They all clapped and cheered at their friend's confidence in himself, and Crowley leaned over to kiss Aziraphale on the cheek. They laughed and talked all through breakfast, and Anathema filled them in how open mic night had gone in their absence, and Newt held her hand while she told them, and it was all rather lovely. As Crowley signaled for the check, a tall figure in a nice suit appeared at their table.
Aziraphale!
Gabriel Horn smiled broadly.
A little early in your career for an entourage, isn't it?
These are my friends,
Aziraphale explained, determined to let nothing puncture his immense joy.
Best thing about Hollywood, you can buy as many friends as you want.
Anathema raised an eyebrow, and Hester and Ligger looked immediately murderously. Newt, bless him, was entirely unprepared for conflict of any kind, but he would have certainly backed them up in his own way.
Mr. Horn.
Oh, please, Aziraphale, sunshine. Gabriel, remember?
Gabriel laughed again. Crowley's jaw tightened at sunshine, but he let it go.
Yes, Will. Gabriel, I've thought a great deal about your generous offer, and I've chosen to decline. Terribly sorry.
For the first time, Gabriel's smile faltered.
Excuse me?
He said he's not interested,
Crowley hissed, unable to contain himself any longer.
Beat it.
Hester and Ligger agreed with a crack of their knuckles.
Aziraphale, you can't just turn down Hollywood. It's what every comedian wants.
I...
Aziraphale took a calm sip of his tea.
Am not every comedian.
Anathema punched the air like it was a fucking 80s movie.
You're making the biggest mistake of your life, sunshine.
Gabriel snarled, ugliness clouding those fine features. And they were all on their feet at that, even Newt.
He doesn't want to go.
Anathema's hands were on her hips.
I do look forward to seeing you at the festival tonight, Gabriel. But I'm quite done discussing business at the moment.
Crowley squeezed Aziraphale's hand, and Gabriel absorbed the moment with disgust on his face.
Well, I guess I know whose fault this is.
He grimaced. Crowley grinned as Aziraphale waved. Gabriel Horn stalked away. Crowley spun around to face Aziraphale.
Angel, you sure? I mean...
Crowley, if there was just the one path to happiness, none of us would ever get there, would we?
Did you read that in a greeting card, Angel?
Aziraphale kissed him. Aziraphale was always going to kiss him, you see. Anathema wiggled in between them and slung her arms over both of their shoulders.
Come on, lovebirds. Aziraphale still has a show to do tonight.
He did, you know. Saturday night. A bit of a spoiler for you, my friends, and I hope you won't feel cheated by this brevity. Aziraphale Fell would perform on many store stages after this one. He wasn't always brilliant. It's hard for any comic to do all the time. We all muck it up sometimes. But this night, this perfect night, filled with a confidence he'd never known before, surrounded by people he loved most in the world, Aziraphale Fell fucking killed it.
My dear friends, I've been Aziraphale Fell. Good night.
Instead of retreating backstage, Aziraphale hopped right off the scent of the stage and strode directly into Crowley's arms as the crowd cheered.
Aziraphale, I have to ask you something.
Anything.
Crowley shoved his hand into his pocket, and Aziraphale gasped. It couldn't be. Crowley pulled out his old, torn-up notebook.
Aziraphale Fell, will you write a comedy show with me?
Aziraphale's jaw dropped, his hands flew to his heart. Partners. They were going to be partners. In joke-telling and maybe everything else.
A thousand times, yes!
There, at the end of the world, Aziraphale and Crowley held each other and kissed in triumph. Because they had faced down hecklers and insecurities and hotshot agents and what felt like a million other impossible foes, and they were still standing. Together. To be concluded in chapter 15.